I am Maurizio Mingardi, the pastor of Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. These are instructions for water baptism, part 3. Some clarification about baptism, water baptism. Now, there are lots of different ideas and teaching and way of doing baptism in Christian circles. I want to clarify some ideas from a Christian biblical point of view, starting with summarizing what baptism really is. First of all, baptism is a decision. You must make a choice to obey God and to follow God's way. And with that choice, it goes with, together with a pledge that we make before God. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says, which figure, the water baptism in which Noah was saved through the flood, now also save us. Baptism. Not a putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not something that we do putting away of the flesh in our own strength, but is the answer or a pledge or a commitment, the response of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ enables us to do so. The other point I want to make is baptism is a covenant we make with God. A covenant we made to be circumcised from the world, to be separated from the world, in whom also you are circumcised through the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in whom you also were raised through faith at the working of God, raising him from the dead. So the fact is that we deal with the flesh and come in partnership with God in this relationship according to which we become partners of God and we give ourselves to God and God give us what we need to overcome sin in our lives. The third point I want to make is that in 1 John chapter 6 verse 8 it says there, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The three are into one. And all this is a witness we also have with respect to the world. A witness that we say, we took a position, we take a stand against sin, and we're going to follow God and follow His way. The other point is that we make this is a testimony as well for other every to one to perceive. And it's interesting to see that in some country where Christians are persecuted, they are not persecuted until they are baptized. But once they are baptized, they start to be persecuted because they know the people that persecute them, that in them the power of God is revealed and that they are different. They have acquired the resurrection power of Jesus Christ by faith. Finally, it's also an act of obedience. Obedience to God's direction. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all the authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore you go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you all the days until the end of the world. Amen. So this is Jesus telling them, therefore you go and baptize them. So this is an act of obedience that we do toward God. Jesus himself obeyed this principle. We see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, when he was baptized himself, then Jesus came to Galilee, to Jordan, to John, to be baptized. But John restrained him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? In answering, Jesus said to him, allow it now, for it is becoming, or it is the right thing to do, to us, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And so this is an act of faith that we make. A faith that we trust God's power to minister to us and to help us to walk in the way that is right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And faith involves always doing something. And as in James chapter 2 verse 26 says, "For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith also without works is dead." And as we have seen many times before in Romans chapter 6, baptism is an appropriation of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. As we identify with Him in His death, we identify ourselves with Him in His resurrection. And the power of God that is in Him will be also in us to overcome flesh and sin in our lives. Now, we have seen what baptism is. Let's see what baptism is not. First of all, baptism is not a magic ceremony. And what that I mean that it's not a formula we go through that has power in itself. You can go through the formula, but there is not the, if you have not the content, the intent, the purpose for which baptism was instituted in the first place, it's a meaningful exercise. Second, baptism is not a saving act. With that, what we mean is you don't go to heaven because you are baptized. You go to heaven because you are born again and you follow God. This was one of the things that initially was misunderstood by some people, and this is why they instituted water baptism for children. When children were thought that if they were not baptized, they would not go to heaven. This is absolutely not true. One is not saved through baptism. One is saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept what He did for overcoming sin and forgiveness of sins in your life. Then, one other idea that's been around for a long time is that the church is baptism is a church joining ceremony. This is not what the Bible says. You join the church when you are baptized in the body. And that happens when you are born again and God places you in a certain body, in the body of Christ. Finally, baptism is not just a symbolic act that we go through. This is a sign of lack of understanding of what how spiritual things actually work. Jesus commanded something not just for the sake of a superficial show, but because there is possibly power in it. As we take a position and we stand on that truth and in faith, and through that faith we appropriate the power of God to overcome sins. So it's not just a symbolic act, but is a grace-given action of faith. Now finally, let's consider who can be baptized. Now to have a baptism that is meaningful and effective in imparting you the grace that you should receive, some conditions must be met. First of all, sin must be dealt with in your life. If you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter was preaching to the people in Jerusalem. And they were impacted by what he was saying. And hearing this, they were stabbed in their heart and said to Peter and to other apostles, "Men, brothers, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here the word remission is to break free from, is not meaning for the forgiveness of sin, but becoming free from the power of sin. Now, the question of repentance also means not to feel just sorry for the sins that one has committed, but to repent means to turn around, to change. That means one abandons the sins in their own life and start living a life according to God's principles. Now, this is the basic starting point dealing with sin. Also, If you go to Acts chapter 8, verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the gospel, the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So the idea here is again that we need to believe in the gospel. We need to believe what Jesus has done. We need to believe that He died for our sins. So repenting without the knowledge that he died for us in our place doesn't work. It cannot produce us the freedom. It's the death of Jesus that enables and empowers the act of baptism in our lives. Also, in Acts chapter 16, we see, and leading them outside, he said, "Sirs, what must they do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your household." So this again is an indication that to deal with sin, we had to, number one, repent for our sins, the sins we have committed, and second, we had to believe that what Jesus has done made us free from sin. The second point is that we need to have understanding about what the meaning and what baptism is and the power that is in it. If we go to Acts chapter 8, we can see verse 30. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, this is the eunuch that was walking, that was in the carriage, "Do you need to understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless some man should guide me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the content of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and is like a lamb dumb before the shearers, he opened up not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I beg you, of whom does the prophet speak this? Of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began all this, the same scripture, and preached the gospel of Jesus to him. And as they passed along the way, they came on some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, it is lawful." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So we can see here that we need to have the understanding of what baptism is all about. We need to have the understanding of Jesus is and what he did for us. And as the eunuch was able and was understanding and was able to see and understand the gospel, it was lawful for Philip to baptize him. Finally, the third point I want to make about who can be baptized is that we have to make a choice in which we are aware of the choice we make. You must have enough experience in life to know what you are choosing, to have and the things that you will not do. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth to record today against you. I set you before life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, so that both you and your seed may live." And this is really the choice that we make. We must choose life. We must choose to live according to God's principles. And to be able to do that, we have to have understanding of what life is all about. And we have to be at the age of accountability. That means something like 17 or 18 years old age at least, in which we come on a contractual covenant and agreement between us and God. And by faith, this contractual agreement breaks the power of sin in our life. This requires evidently that you are mentally sound, conscious, mature, and are accountable for your actions. For this reason, infant baptism doesn't make sense because a child cannot make that kind of a decision, and the parents cannot make the decision for a child. One question, and it's often asked, is why should we be baptized? Now, there are a number of reasons why we should be baptized. First of all, baptism is being commanded to us, something that we should do. For example, in Mark chapter 6, verse 15 and following, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all world, proclaim the gospel to all the creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Well, this is an evident statement in which Jesus told us to go and baptize, and if he told us to go and baptize, that means it's also a commandment for people to be baptized. Also, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you all the days until the end of the world. Now, this is evidently another statement in which Jesus commanded us to baptize people. We can also see that not only Jesus commanded us, but also the apostles commanded the believers to be baptized. For example, we can see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here we see that Peter did that. We can also see later on the results of that, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. See the impact of this message from Peter. 3,000 people joined the church. Then in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, but when Philip believed Philip preaching the gospel, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we can see that there are many places in which we are commanded, both that Jesus and the apostles, to be baptized. And being a commandment, as in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God. Well, that means the love that we have toward God. That we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not burdensome. Another reason to be baptized is simply to follow Jesus' direction, Jesus' example. He was baptized, and he said that it was good to fulfill all righteousness. It's just as well for us a good thing to do to follow his example. And finally, the last reason is the fact that it's a grace-giving experience. With what that I mean that through it we receive the grace of God. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through faith of the working of God, raising him from the dead. So we can see that that releases the power of God. We were raised with Christ by faith in God's work, the work that he did in Jesus, and the work that also does in us. Another question that is often asked is, can we be baptized again? The first time that we were baptized, we didn't know what we were doing, and we would like to be baptized again. Well, to answer that question, we had to go back to the scriptures and see what they say. So if we go to Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened in the time Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the higher parts to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we did not so much as hear where the Holy Spirit is. And he said to them, then what were you baptized? and they said, to John's baptism. And Paul said, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him coming after him, that is in Jesus Christ. And hearing, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we can see here that they were baptized twice, and their baptism corresponded to their type of understanding that they had in what they were doing. So even today, the same application can be made, and people can be baptized when they come into the understanding so that they can receive the grace that is provided through the baptism.